Good morning. Welcome to the Thursday, May 20th edition of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee. Today we're continuing to hear Senate Bill 5505, the Columbia River Gorge Commission budget. We're in a public hearing, before we begin, I'd like to turn it over to our administrator, Sam Rocco, to do some discussions of issues of importance.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I've handed out three items to committee members. One is a packet of materials from public input from the testimony on Tuesday, May 18th, and then a set of materials that we received through mail or fax. So there's a packet that you're tracking for those. There's a set of material provided by the Village Commission in response to questions that were asked on Monday's hearing that you have in front of you. And there's a memo from me regarding some questions that Senator George asked regarding the nature of the Columbia River Gorge Commission that I provided to members of the committee.
Questions? Mm-hmm. Also this morning, we have one of the members of the Columbia River Gorge Commission. I'd like to introduce the committee to Mr. Pitt, and Mr. Pitt has a friend that possibly he would like to bring forward. And under the public hearing portion of the committee meeting, I'd like to have Mr. Pitt forward. We ended up not getting a testimony from Mr. Pitt in our hearing, public hearing. Tuesday, so I'd like to invite him to come to the podium this morning for a little interaction about the Columbia River Gorge cultural issues from the Native American perspective.
Chairman, can I invite?
Please do.
I'd like to introduce Armin Minthorn from the Umatilla Confederacy of Tribes. And Armand is, I've worked with Armand for a good 6 or 7 years and have known of him. As a learned, I think, student of spiritual and cultural ways and just Indianness. For the record, I'm Louis Pitt Jr. And I did read the letter, and I've been scrambling around since that point into the record that the Warm Springs tribes had submitted, and that was the extent of what I could do, I think, within that situation of the time constraints and also limited by my chairman that said, just read the record and read it into the record, and that's it. And considering I talked to him, too, about our kind of uncomfortable situation we get in with the house at the gorge, too, that didn't want to leave the door open for discussions on that because there's ongoing litigation with that, and I'm named on one of the suits there. So, Chairman, the question pertains to the cultural resource situation in the gorge, and there's been a number of waves of, I think, focus on the cultural resources. And years ago, before I knew what was going on at the Columbia Gorge Act and the plan, is I heard about it from the edge, is I heard that there were going to be higher levels of protection for a number of resources. As a matter of course, due to the just the exceptional nature of the resource known as the Columbia River Gorge. And when we heard that there's going to be different types of protections for natural and cultural resources, I lobbied my government to please let me get involved to see how does this work, how can we help? If so, how can we help? So at that time, it was took about a year to lobby my government into allowing me to go down and take a look-see. And as you figured out, I looked a little bit too close and ended up about 2 years later as a gorge commissioner. So the idea is, as a tribal person, and a tribal government person, is that we support, as a matter of policy, we support those management actions off reservation that are consistent with and support our treaty rights, which is also supports our Indian way of life, contemporary Indian life, as well as have been supported it since time immemorial. And there's other rights that go with that, but not to go into the treaty rights, is that was the test that I took to the gorge, was does it in fact protect our way of life treaty rights, cultural resources, the higher cultural resource and natural resource protection. And then there's governmental parts to this also. Does the plan and the act allow for Indian tribes to have full consultation with the decision makers? In this case, the decision makers are a combination of the counties and the Gorge Commission and a number of other folks depending on the resource. This is the land use part of it, not all of the executive other decisions, but just the main land use focus is done by fairly, for us, it may seem narrow to some folks, but as Armin can probably tell you too, is that that's good because we don't have half a dozen or a dozen offices we have to go to try to get a straight answer out of somebody as it is now with some of the things outside of the Gorge. So all of these tests, governmental-wise, was trying to figure out, do I feel comfortable with supporting this? And so it really did take until probably a year after I was in as a Gorge Commissioner to actually learn and see what was going on. So there was a cultural resource inventory. There's a percent that's in our plan that says only 10% have been surveyed, but that's not true. Is that we're continually trying to survey. We do survey as we go along in the process of land use planning. As applications come in, there is a definite part that says we have to take care of, look at cultural resources, and then natural resources. There's some triggers within a certain distance of a cultural resource. There has to be certain things happen to protect cultural resources. And so we felt I had to see that in action. And so we have done a number of actions as a commission that have protected cultural resources. The main thing is that I think most of the work is done by the process itself. Is that this is, again, there is some wisdom in land use, as I've been learning over time, is that a lot of the work doesn't have to be really contentious and in commission and whatever. When a good staff can sit down and talk with a proponent for a certain development, I think 80 to 90% of that work was done as they drew the site plans outside of the commission and certainly outside of some sort of court where two attorneys are talking to a third-party judge. So where there were some areas, there was full consultation, I think, with the tribes that is a matter of the act and the plan that says to talk to the tribes. I'm always talking to the tribes with my other hat of saying, don't forget, it's not only consultation, communications, and collaboration, there's also consent. And that's part of the thing I bring to the table is I believe with cultural resources, there definitely has to be an element of consent from the tribes because these resources are so important to us. So does it work? I would think as far as the 10 million acres that I have to monitor, it is the only thing that is working right now as far as protecting cultural resources. I would like to see more tribal involvement. I'm lobbying Armin right here to, we have some pieces that aren't there right now. We need to have better technical assistance from the Forest Service, aka dollars for the Forest Service. We need to have, I think, monthly or at least once every 2 months, cultural advisory committee. It's in the plan. The tribes haven't pushed as hard as they should on this. We used to do that in the past with the late elder Stafford Hansel taking the lead. The budget really has constrained us on that. It's really a matter of just topping out some staff time to try to get our staff to come in and sit down and figure out what is the most effective agenda to do on cultural resources. And right now, Jonathan is really, really constrained by that limited staff. We just don't have people there right now. And trying to have experts like Alan Bell, who's an excellent cultural resources sensitive person and also a great planner. Ryan Litt and we're real limited. Again, these folks are probably the finest that limited experience I've had with land use planning. Portland's been another one. They're some of the finest, I think, sensitive planners that I've run into. So we're real constrained by that to try to expand the agenda, even if the tribes came forth today and says, okay, let's lobby together for inventories through the technical Arena through the Forest Service and Les Starp, the Cultural Advisory Committee, is that that puts Jonathan into trying to decide, okay, what gets swapped off of the priority list. So we're, again, the other side of me is that, yeah, we have, I think, more work to do as far as cultural inventories go. We have one of the main players here. We work with another tribe. One of the cumbersome things we have in cultural resources at the Gorge is the intertribal works, of which we do our darndest. If Armin and I are going to have some disagreements, we do like you guys do. We step outside and have it out there, and the first guy in is the winner type of thing. Not sure how you guys work with this.
That's pretty much the way it works.
Oh, okay.
But
we try to do our darndest not to let folks see our Indian business. And that's Indian business, and we do so the way we've done for thousands of years, with more of a traditional level taken care of first, and then look to the contemporary type of governments. And at times, our traditional governments are at odds with our contemporary governments.
That happens to us too, Mr. Pitt.
And that's my job, is to try to align those things, and it's not fun. Sometimes it's great and fun, and other times it's impossible. And getting two governments, two greatly different governments in their makeup and structure, the Yakima government and the Warm Springs government, to talk to each other is just a tremendous challenge. They haven't looked at cultural resource opportunity in the Gorge as in the same way that we have, but they do have a staff person, Clifford Washeen, who's just recently, I think last week, got a recognition award at your counterpart up there in Olympia for his tremendous work in cultural resource protection in the state of Washington. Clifford is really, it's comparable to Armand here in his upbringing and such, and so he's a real asset to the state of Washington. And again, Clifford is has the same challenges as I'm trying to get around of, is that the difficulties working with his own government too, with kind of not a real constant focus on any one item. Cultural resources requires years of focus, not just when it's politically appropriate. And we have the political cycles too, elections, non-elections, and hot items and cold items.
Mr. Pitt, a question. Do we have, if I understand you correctly, you would appreciate better technical support and assistance from the USDA Forest Service, and there needs to be more attention to the cultural meetings that are mandated by the plan with the staff and with the other counterparts in the Gorge administration, Columbia River Gorge administration itself.
Yes.
And are there monthly meetings mandated by the Act, or is there?
I think they're on as a need-be basis, and we did, again, the only model we had was with the past experiences, that monthly worked just right. It was enough time to diffuse potential things that could blow up and just get information and make decisions. So monthly would be an ideal. We have two chiefs that are assigned to that presently that I've asked them, and one or both of them may be here today, Nelson Willilleton and Chief Delvis Heath. Nelson is the chief of the Wascos. Delvis is chief of the Warm Springs. And we hope that with the higher levels of funding, and my discussion here is I still have to work with the Gorge Commission to lobby for priorities to that avenue, because they're the ones who set staff time, so I've been willing to do that. And I think I'm hearing more about what's going on. I would like to think that we'd have more support from Warm Springs, Umatilla, and Yakima. I know Clifford Washeens would be there for Yakima to help out, and that's what we want to get. We want to get the Indians together, not only just at the commission, but let's have our own work session, and that's all we're asking for. They're no more than half-day sessions, and that doesn't... The Cultural Advisory Committee has a number of functions. One of them is to just help with the decision-making process with the Gorge Commission. The other one is to help and work as almost an information gathering mechanism for the counties. And then two is one of the worries we have is when it gets something significant that you have differences on, gets to the commission level, is I would be really, I think, heartbroken to lose some of those folks because they worked on it on a staff level. And so that's one of our things we were talking about 3 years ago, but never came to any reasonable conclusion on how we want to use our tribal elders as not only decision makers and problem solvers at the lowest level, but also policy advisors to the commission if and when it got there. So that's one of the real headaches that I have, and I just bear it for Arnie here again, and I hope he can ask more about that, because we really need to do that. As of today, is that we've had, there's this issue of significance. If the county says something isn't significant, our people say it is. And that's something that we've got a process that allows that to go through a number of levels, and gather information. And if we can't solve it at these different levels, the Gorge Commission then puts on its cloak of quasi-judicial authorities and makes a decision on that. And that's, again, I feel comfortable with, especially if the tribes are involved, it's just a matter of doing that. The Gorge Act and Plan, the plan itself has taken care of 95% of those, I think, through the As Mike Farrell, general manager of Umatilla, said, not to speak for the public record, is what Mike talked into, was that he felt that, not to quote him, but his general gist was that the fact that he hasn't had to be involved at the Gorge does show that good things are going on with the competent staff, and I'm not sure if he went that far, but anyway, he felt that things were going on good in a way that he could support. And to me, is that this idea of adding another job to Armin's busy schedule and whatever, I know that's tedious on the tribe's part, but definitely something that we need, especially as we get into plan review and monitoring, and the treaty rights part of this really has to be looked at into the tribe, independent of me as a commissioner. I've got to run over the other side and try to get some Warm Springs tribal folks that understand sovereignty and tribal rights and to participate with that, because we're real serious about that. Is that we have a whole chapter, which is not a very long chapter, about 9 pages of treaty rights in the Gorge Plan. I don't know if I answered your question, Sheriff.
Mr. Chair, I think you answered my question on then some, and I genuinely appreciate the opportunity to meet Mr. Menton and to have the input of a Gorge Commission commissioner and a tribal member. I think the more we can understand about how important the cultural resources of the Gorge are to the tribal interests, the better off we can make public policy decisions.
Great, thank you, sir.
And today, if you wanted to announce it for the record, is a celebration day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd like to invite the Ways and Means Resource Committee to, well, it's all day. If you see a tribal member walking around, is that feel free to pull them over, is that what's going on, and as well as we have a symbolic ceremony signing up at the governor's office to continue Indian Week. And we've got an executive order dealing with government to government right now that we've been really working hard on trying to get those, get some, I'm the guy that says, not just process and meetings, you need to actually get some protection, some results and products out of this. As well as tribal members, tribal elected officials are going to be speaking through the noon hour to 1:30, and then we're going to be knocking on some doors. So I think we've got a number of meetings set up. We're going to meet with the new chairman, I think, 3:30, have a group, talk with you, and I can't remember who all we've got. So, as we always say on the reservation, Bean Bean Day every day over there. So.
And we'd like to acknowledge one of the elders that have joined us in the community room today. Welcome. We need to move to the work session. Perhaps we could pull the Gorge Commission folks up to talk about their overview and ask for Mr. Naughton to come forward a little bit. Mr. Minkler, did you have anything that you'd like to add to the public record and, by way of information? I realize that Mr. Pitt is trying to recruit you into a position, and perhaps you'd
you want to be careful, measured in what you say about the. Be careful what you wish for, because Mr. Pitt did that one time looking. So. Got him stuck on the grocery store.
First, I appreciate being allowed to express myself here. I think it's important to, especially from the governor's office, to have a budget that will truly support continued activities within the gorge. The governor's budget needs to support tribes' interactions with the counties, Forest Service. The budget will need to allow the tribes to continue to consult with entities and propose actions within the gorge. The budget would also need allow to for the tribes to continue to exercise city rights and continue protection of those treaty resources. Cultural resources, I think, within the whole 10 million acres needs to be considered as that, as a whole. They can't be managed separately. They have to be managed and protected in a holistic manner. When you look at treaty resources, when you look at water, when you look at archaeological sites, wildlife, all of those components that make up cultural resources, they can't be managed or protected in a separate manner. And this is where it's important for the tribes to continue to strengthen the mechanisms that are in place already. I would strongly urge this subcommittee to consider a cultural advisory committee or a commission so that this committee can set principles and priorities. And it's through the elders that we have today that this would truly be a beneficial process to look at. But I think also the cultural resources, even though we have laws that protect the resources, federal and state laws, on both sides of the river, Washington and Oregon, you have to realize that the tribes, whether it were Umatilla, Warm Springs, or Yakima, we have our unwritten laws that we need to continue to follow. And it's for us as the tribes to come to a compromise on how we're going to work with these written laws. That's a difficult part, but we're continuing to do that. And it's very important, Senator, that tribes continue to have an active voice in any pre-decision within the 20 gorge. That's very important. But I think, finally, the tribes, in a traditional manner, a religious manner, all the sites that are within the gorge, burial sites, sacred sites, archaeological sites, permanent campsites, seasonal sites, fishing sites, all of those things we maintain as very significant, because the oral histories that are so important to us and how those oral histories we incorporate within our everyday life. And it's for us to continue to protect these so that we can maintain our connection with our past. Because it's so true what we've heard our elders tell us. We live our past every day through our culture, through our religion, through our traditional activities. It's part of our everyday life. And if we can protect the resources that make up those activities, we'll continue to maintain a way of life. And that's important. But I, again, thank you for allowing me to speak here. And maybe I'll consider Louis Hoffer. But I think, finally, and again, finally, it's very important for the tribes to have a very loud and clear voice. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Questions for the panel? Thanks for joining us this morning. Mr. Naughton, and I guess we'll call also
Mr. Doherty, and if you want to bring up Mr. Robertson, that would be fine.
Begin when you're ready, gentlemen.
Mr. Chair, I think I'll go ahead and kick this off. My presentation is fairly short, and I believe Mr. Rocco is handing it out to the members now. For the record, I am George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. The budget you have in front of you for the Columbia River Gorge Commission, as an overview, I have a couple of points I'd like to bring out. And the first one is that this budget officially resides with the state of Washington. So what you see in the budget is just Oregon's share of the cost of operating this commission. What we have is within that general fund appropriation, we have really three different components. The first one is the operating budget, which is Jonathan and his staff, which makes up about $664,000, almost $665,000. You then have a line for commissioner expenses, that is the Oregon commissioners, their travel, their per diem, which comes out to about $31,000. And the final $100,000 in this budget is the county expenses, the amount that we send to the Oregon County, to the Oregon County.
I guess the question, I didn't catch which document you were reading on as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, it is a document that looks like this.
I see that. I didn't see the 664 that you referred to.
Actually, that number is that number you also find on LSO, it's a breakout that I did not put on this sheet. It's just an informational for you. Should have been included here. The repercussions of this budget residing in Washington is that these are Washington State employees, and also that the expenses of the operating budget are apportioned equally, as you've heard in testimony, equally between the two states. This budget that the governor has proposed is an 80.4% increase over the legislatively adopted budget. That increase primarily comes from two different spots, and we'll look at those when we get into the policy packages. But in a nutshell, we're restoring cuts that were taken last legislative cycle and also funding the monitoring program and plan review, which you've heard quite a bit of testimony about. We started with a general fund budget last biennium of $441,000. I'm turning to the second page now. We've had miscellaneous current service level adjustments for the merit increases and salary adjustments that the Washington employees received. We then have the three policy packages on the back. Package 101, the consistency program, add staff, $80,000 worth of staff so that the commission can monitor the way the counties are working and provide technical assistance to them so that we can make land use decisions that are consistent with the Act. Package 102 is $218,000 of general fund, and it will provide for the commission the staff support so they can undertake plan review during the next biennium. We would expect that process would take about 18 months, and hopefully that's a way that we can address a lot of the issues that you have heard so that we can get those implemented into the plan if they're appropriate and consistent with the Act. The final package, package 105, adds $30,000 for year 2000 costs. We started looking at the commission's computer support. We found computers that were dated back to 87, I believe, Jonathan. They're quite antiquated as far as what their resources are. Mr. Chair, that concludes my testimony on the budget. The budget is fairly simple from our perspective. It's the policy issue that you're very sticky.
Any questions for Mr. Naughton about the numbers?
I do.
President King.
You had said that this budget is restoring cuts from last budget cycle, and the document I'm looking at here, Columbia Gorge Commission, indicates that in 95-97, there was a $526,000 budget, and that looked like it dropped to $441,000 for 97-99, so that was a drop, but then it looked like in I think I've answered it. Okay. So there was a drop in 97-99 from 95-97.
Got there. Any other questions?
And then we'll move on.
Soraka, did you want to do the legislative fiscal office recommendation?
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask George, could you put some aside and we'll ask Susan Lee to come up? There was a question that was asked yesterday or Tuesday in our public hearing. Good morning, Ms. Lee.
Thank you.
Could you recap the question and then provide the answer?
Chair Ferriero, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Susan Lee. I work for Multnomah County. The question that was raised yesterday, this will be brief, was whether or not Multnomah County planning staff had heard complaints about the Gorge Commission. And my response to that is that aside from high-profile cases, which you are aware of, we have not had specific complaints about the Gorge Commission registered in our planning office. In asking that question of staff was an opportunity for them to respond to some of the needs that they see from the Gorge Commission, and if I can make those 4 points and then respond to any additional questions. The first point is that the Gorge Commission resources that are available, we feel that we need some joint training sessions with all the jurisdictions in the National Scenic Area to ensure consistency of the application of the Act in the area. The second item that staff raised was that we need greater staff collaboration on the interpretation and decision-making within the scenic area so that we understand the way that decisions are being made, and again, that relates back to consistency. The third item that was raised was that additional resources need to be dedicated to the review effort that's outlined in the governor's proposed budget to evaluate the effectiveness of the Act. I think there's been a lot of testimony to that point. And the final item is that the support, there needs to be support to ensure that there is consistent enforcement in the National Scenic Area of the Act requirements. So with that, I think I've responded to the question and then some. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other questions on top of this question?
Here you are. Thanks very much for your diligence in returning to the committee.
Thank you.
Colleagues, we're going to go into work session, and we will have the LFO recommendations, but what we have here before us is 9 minutes before session in the Senate. So before we take action this morning, we'll go ahead and adjourn to the Senate session. But I want to get the LFO presentation on the record and start with any questions so that we, when we do come back for a final work session, people have their questions on the table. So we are in work session on the Senate Bill 5505.
Chair, thank you. I've passed out to the committee two items. One is a spreadsheet that details the Columbia River Gorge Commission budget with some history and shows how the budget was developed up to the up to the governor's recommended level, and then LFO's recommended changes to that, and a memo that goes that discusses the changes recommended by legislative fiscal. LFO recommends amending Section 1 of Senate Bill 5505 to the amount of $608,318 general fund, and that is based on changes as outlined in the memo. The fiscal office recommends approval of the current service level budget, which is $468,318. Elimination of package 101, which was $80,000 for consistency programs. Reduction of package 102, which was for the monitoring and plan review. Reduce that package by $78,000. Eliminate package 103, $30,000, which was for purchase of new computers that are YCK compliant. In addition, fiscal office recommends shifting $100,000 in the base budget of the agent of the Grades Commission, which is currently in the budget for distribution to county for county grants, shifting that to operational expenses, and the proposal is to fund county grant allocations out of the Department of Land Conservation and Development budget. Currently, for the past six biennia, the Department of Land Conservation and Development has provided, by legislative direction, about $60,000, roughly, per biennium to the three Oregon Gorge counties. And that's just been done out of their base. And the proposal would be to increase that amount, but have it all flow out of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. For the 1997-99 biennium, the legislature had identified $100,000 of the Gorge Commission budget to be provided to counties in equal amount.
Mr. Chair. Question or clarification on the DASH presentation. They got policy package 105. Should that be 103?
No, Mr. Chair, that is correct. My memo is in error. It should be 105. There were two other packages that were not included in the governor's recommended budget. And on the spreadsheet, it is identified as 105 on the top, and it should be 105 in both places. In addition, the fiscal office recommends appropriating $60,000 to the emergency board in order to receive a report from the Gorge Commission on the components of their monitoring system that they're intending to add in this biennium, and to get a status report on the progress of the monitoring of the review of the Scenic Area Management Plan. We feel this is an important aspect of their plan for the next biennium, primarily because this is the chance for local residents to have some input into the future of the plan and any changes that local residents would like to see in the plan. And it's also a mandated review of the plan that must occur by the year 2001. So with the allocation of $60,000 to the emergency board, the commission will have the opportunity to come to the board and request those funds after providing a status report. And in light of that, we have recommended a budget note be added that discusses this direction to the commission, and that's identified in item 3 in the amendment. The LFO recommendation would result in a 16% reduction from the governor's recommended budget and approximately a 43% increase from the current service level. And that the size of that increase is largely due to the fact that the budget for the current biennium was drastically reduced from 95-97 levels, and this is a partial restoration of those reductions and some additional resources provided to continue with the management plan review.
Question on St. James.
Just for clarification and my understanding that the money we're taking from LCDC to go to Columbia Gorge. LCDC, you know, has responsibility for assisting counties in their planning, so I'm standing in effect there to delegate, you know, that workload on the counties directly in the area. It would be a practical effect of doing that.
The LCDC does technical assistance grants to counties all the time. The fact is that we polled the counties to find out what their costs were relative to the Scenic Area Act, and the reimbursements that were being supplied through the Scenic Area Act administration were about two-thirds of the costs that were actually documented. We took another hard look, decided that moving some money around and increasing the dollars that go to counties would improve their capacity. And the more capacity that exists in the counties, the better understanding and compliance and better customer service we get at the counter when people come into the planning process. So that's the justification when we've identified the resources. Other questions? Just on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize to the committee. I missed a lot of the presentations on the Gorge Commission, but I'm concerned about the participation of the federal government in the purchasing of development rights for property. I believe I heard in one of the presentations that they have 30,000 acres that they have not dealt with, something of that effect. And I'm interested in what is, where that is moving, is the federal government stepping forward to finish their share? I'm really concerned that, that we have a federal and state compact in which there was agreement, as I understand it, made that they would fund the purchase of those types of rights and lands. And then the federal government, it appears to me, broke their commitment and left the counties and the states with a terrific problem in public community. PR, public relationships, and management of the land. And so I'd like to get a better sense of if that commitment, in fact, has been broken, and if they're explaining that.
First, initially, let me try and put a little perspective, and then we'll give that to the first question and the answer. But in the last biennium, there was significant reductions in the budget, and that sent a red flag flying over the Gorge Commission offices and in Washington, D.C., and among the elected representatives in the, both legislatures and both congressional delegations. And part of the reason that that was important is it involves a plan for behavior modification. We needed to send a strong message about accountability to the agency, but we also needed to send a strong message of concern through Congress, and partly as a result of that, and partly just ongoing efforts, there was $6 million appropriated in Congress to continue the purchase from willing sellers of properties where we have conflict of land uses. That effort has to be ongoing and periodic, because what happens is that as more of the conflicted land use areas arise, they're dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And you get a demand curve and then a resource curve, and that solves some of the problems, but new problems come up. So it has to be a continuing commitment, but it has to be a process of education and iteration from the state back to the Congress to make sure that they do what they said they would do in the Scenic Area Act, and that solve these land use conflicts. We have the major impact area where there's a high protection and then a lower level of conflict in the Act 5 areas, but they're still inside the Scenic Area Act. And we're seeing more interest in throughout the Gorge in willing sales to willing from willing sellers to the Scenic Area purchase opportunities where those conflicts are at. But I'll turn it over to the Gorge Commission Director and the Gorge Commission members to answer your question.
Mr. Chairman, Griffin and Messley, I'm Dave Robertson, member of the Commission, and I couldn't have said it much better myself. It's an ongoing process. The Congress originally had said in the Gorge Act that we will authorize $40 million for land acquisition in the Scenic Area. The $40 million by fiscal 1996 had been fully appropriated, and since then, in the last couple of fiscal years, another $10 million has been appropriated. Of that total, there's still $6 million left that the Forest Service has in its possession that's what they would call unobligated, or they haven't closed the deal with landowners. So there are a number of
parcels on the docket and on their list to take care of that within the next year, I would hope, would get done. I happen to be back in Washington, D.C. in April and stopped by to see Senator Gorton's staff on the Appropriations Committee about this and tried to get some feedback from him on where he thinks things are going. And there's some, I think as you have so aptly pointed out, there is some concern, even in Senator Gorton's office, that these parcels aren't moving along fast enough and that we're not getting, Congress is appropriating the money, but the agency is not making the acquisitions in a timely enough manner. So that is definitely an area that could use some more work, and to the degree that the Commission can assist the Forest Service with that, we will do everything we can and continue to advocate for funding to do the purchase development rights and fee title for certain parcels.
Two questions, actually. Are you saying that the Forest Service has the funds then available?
The Forest Service has some funds. Now, whether they have $6 million that's been given to them by Congress but still sitting, just for lack of a better term, in a bank account, and they haven't been able to close deals with all the landowners that have made applications to them to buy. So their land acquisition staff in the gorge needs to do continuing work on that to make sure that they get those wrapped up and taken care of, and landowners are fairly compensated for their land.
More quick follow-up. I realize I'm holding you from session. When they value those properties that they're working agreements on, is that based on pre-gorge commission values or with inflation, or is that based on with the restrictions of the gorge commission?
It's based on the Forest Service has adopted a policy of doing that on pre-gorge act values. And is there an inflationary adjustment?
Yeah, but Chairman, Representative Messley, Jonathan Daugherty for the gorge commission, when they do the appraisals there, they discount or they take away all effects of the act, all regulatory effects of the act, so it's the regulations that would have been in place prior to the act at today's value.
Is this federally appropriation specifically dedicated to the Columbia River Gorge, or is this a dedication to the scenic in general?
It is dedicated to the Columbia River Gorge through the Land and Water Conservation Fund. So there's specific language, like you would have a budget note that would say this amount would go towards the gorge. That's how they do it the same way.
Further questions? Colleagues, I'm going to go ahead and ask our legislative fiscal officer to bring his presentation to a close and then recess for the day because obviously the lateness of the hour we need to get to our meeting or to our Senate session. Any other comments for us?
Chair, no, that's all I have to provide to the team.
Okay, we're going to continue this work session to we'll go ahead and continue the work session on Monday. Having no other business before the committee, we are in adjournment.